Hey, and welcome back to another Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. I got my co-host here, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr. Today, we are going to be talking about the medicines that can cause weight gain. Someday, we'll be talking about the medicines that help you with weight loss, but we're going to actually talk about medicines that can cause weight gain. And before you go ahead and stop any of these medicines that we discuss, you better talk with your doctor first, because we are not going to get sued over a podcast here. That would be,
this is educational only.
Our wives might kill us.
It doesn't mean you can't take these.
Our wives might be pissed.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys should have, I can't believe.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, okay. So. First of all,
all medications we use, right? So medications that doctors prescribe always have to have the risk, benefits, pros, cons considered for everything we do. And sometimes medications do contribute to that complex physiology of obesity that we talk about and increase your weight, increase hunger, or maybe slow metabolism or cause some of the metabolic hindrance for obesity.
Nutrient partitioning.
But sometimes the benefits outweigh those risks. So
I think
please don't stop.
So if you're a patient, obviously, you can get a good idea from listening to this. Hey, that medicine might be contributing to my struggles with weight. Probably not going to be all of it, unless it's some of these that we will discuss, some that have a really strong effect. Some of them a very mild effect, but you should at least be aware of it. And it's something to actually bring attention to your doctor. And it may be something they could go, I think there's a reasonable alternative, or no, unfortunately, there's not. But there are we prescribe medicines to counteract some of the effects of the weight gain from these medicines that you just can't stop. Some of the antipsychotic medicines that we'll kind of discuss here. But I think that's what's important. If you're a physician listening to this, you go, oh gosh, I didn't know that medicine could be doing that. So think twice. If there's a medicine that's more weight neutral, or even helps with weight loss potentially, you may want to reach for that one. If again, you can. Sometimes you can't. We could get a psychiatrist on here sometime and discuss some of the more medicines that sometimes I prescribe some of these medicines simply out of the recommendations by a psychiatrist, and for some reason they're not in the office and I can't get a hold of them. But most of the times, my endocrinologist brother is not prescribing an antipsychotic, and I am not as a, in my primary care role. But
no.
So which medicine class do we want to talk about first here?
There's a table in the Endocrine Society, obesity pharmacology guideline actually that has a nice little table of the common drugs that cause weight gain from their meta-analysis that they used for that guideline. But there was also a more recent one. But anyways,
I would say the most common that I see are probably medicines for depression, the SSRI class. So can we talk about that first?
And they're probably the most misunderstood too. I think a lot of people think they all cause weight gain when that's not actually true.
Yeah.
So that's probably a good one.
So SSRIs, first of all, I was kind of naive when I went to med school. I didn't really know anybody on medicine. I didn't really understand, but tons of people are actually on medicine and you may not even know that. And the SSRIs are probably the most common one you'll see. So SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And these are commonly prescribed first line for chronic depression and also anxiety, mind you, and a few other things. There's multiple uses for these, but most commonly anxiety and depression. So a lot of people are on these. And there's one specific type of this, paroxetine or Paxil, is probably the one most well known for causing weight gain. The one that might cause some weight loss or more weight neutral, would you say is that fluoxetine or Prozac?
Well, yeah. Fluoxetine is the one that it's kind of the preferred alternative, generally speaking, if we're talking straight SSRIs. Yeah. Now, we haven't gotten into the SNRI and all that stuff.
But in between, there's like Lexapro, escitalopram, probably has a little bit of weight gain Then there's citalopram, sertraline, Zoloft, all those ones in between. I would say, you know, it's not a lot of weight gain, but I have patients that tell me, like, man, my hunger has been high. They'll admit that they gained like 10 pounds since starting the medicine. Now,
yeah. On the other hand, you'll also hear them say the opposite, because those medications are also treatment for, like, say, binge eating. And so it really depends. And I think different individuals respond differently to those. So the studies don't show that those, you know, cause weight gain, but everybody's different. So if you feel like you started gaining weight when you started a medication, it's something to discuss. Yeah. But Paxil, Paroxetine, sorry to use the trade name Paxil company, but it is the notorious one. That's kind of the obvious one, the very evidence-based one that increases weight.
Yeah, that's the one shown in the studies. Like, hey, if one of these is going to be causing weight gain, it's probably that one. Beyond that, you know, like I said, the Lexapro, escitalopram, citalopram, Celexa, sertraline, Zoloft, those, they may or may not cause some weight gain in you. But again,
may or may not. They may even help.
They may even help you. So fluoxetine or Prozac, you know, maybe a little bit of weight loss or maybe nothing. But honestly, again, this is a good discussion to have with
you. Some people think it's a relevant weight loss medicine, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not a weight loss
medicine. Wasn't there one of our colleagues
who was trying to claim
that it was a weight loss medicine?
It's not actually a weight loss medicine, and not an evidence-based one. So
no. It might be better than paroxetine.
Yeah. So if you're going to use something depression. And the doctor
for not causing weight.
Yeah. On the other hand too, we'll just throw this out here. Wellbutrin, which is not an SSRI, bupropion, it works on norepinephrine and dopamine.
Bupropion.
That one might actually help with weight loss. So if you're discussing with your physician and you're like, hey, you know, I think I need to go on an antidepressant, you may mention that. But again, it's not necessary for everybody, because it does have different effects and may not be the right one for you. So throwing that out there.
It may not be what's right for your actual issue. You know, another one that's interesting, and this isn't an SSRI, but mirtazapine, it for some reason, it seems like it's being used more now actually in the psych world, which of course I'm not in. I'm just seeing some of the results of it. But I was always more under the impression to use it for people who needed to gain weight, because it's an appetite stimulating medicine.
Yeah.
So that's the trade name of that is
Remeron. Yeah, we used to see that all the time. Just give them some Remeron, help them gain weight. So yeah, mirtazapine is one of these that I wouldn't be prescribing that unless maybe for hunger, I suppose.
No, that gets out of our wheelhouse for sure. Yeah, but I've seen more people lately on it.
Yeah, there are some older antidepressants that some people might still be on, and for other off-label like pain syndromes, the tricyclic antidepressants, TCAs, so amitriptyline or Elavil and nortriptyline.
Amitriptyline is the one.
I never prescribed these. This was like those are kind of older drugs, but some people still use them for pain, certain pain. I don't know. I don't prescribe them. But
specifically for like neuropathic pain and stuff like that.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't prescribe them. But anyway, just to be aware of those.
On that note, that could jump us to another group of medications that can cause some weight gain that are, say, for, like the neuroepileptics, nerve pain type medications, like pregabalin or Lyrica, Neurontin, gabapentin. Those medications are associated with weight gain, and a lot of people are on those for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is those with type 2 diabetes, when they have peripheral neuropathy. I mean, I don't know if you're prescribing these for those patients or you let the primary care, but like it's interesting, because it's like, gosh, you want it to, because the pain is miserable. I've never had it, of course, so I can't say, but the patients are just like miserable. So it's like, oh God, I don't want to cause more weight gain, but you want to relieve their pain. But you know, the gabapentin, neurontin.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Sometimes we got to do what we got to do. And that's what I tell the patients, you know, we, if we can't get rid of this medicine that might be working against us a little bit, we just got to do other things. And, you know, we got to think in a holistic manner. And because, yeah, specifically, like, you know, Lyrica is approved for diabetes neuropathy. Yeah. And it works well. And, you know, it's fibromyalgia, too. We probably have a lot of people listening to this that might struggle with fibromyalgia. Now, of course, we're the ones to always prescribe exercise as medicine first for fibromyalgia. But Lyrica is approved for fibromyalgia, and weight works against fibromyalgia. So sometimes these things can be a little bit of a vicious cycle, and we have to just, again, be cognizant of it and be aware of it. And sometimes you need it, though.
Yeah. So those are kind of in this anti-convulsant mood stabilizer category. So Depakote, valproic acid, carbamazepine, lithium. Ficabatra, I've never prescribed that one, but
you're looking at the table. Yeah, I know. I'm not familiar with that one.
I have my book open. I have my I have a chapter on it, but I've never actually prescribed
some of the alternatives. And again, this gets a little nuanced that, you know, physicians treating you will have to, you know, very carefully consider these options, and they may just not be real true alternatives for what's ailing you. But some of the medicines that are potential alternatives, we actually use specifically to improve, you know, appetite, cravings, and help with weight loss. But we don't need to necessarily get into those. Just, again, be aware of
it. Yeah. So, okay, so then the other ones, the big one, antipsychotic medicines, the big one that we see from like a metabolic standpoint. So these medicines, as my brother said earlier, they could either increase your hunger. That's where we kind of see probably the Paxil. There's probably some hunger, serotonin modification. And then some of these other ones, there's actually some like histamine in there.
Yeah, the antihistamines are often known to be associated with some weight gain.
And some of these other medicines also hit the histamine receptors in different ways that might increase hunger. And that's why you're gaining weight. But some of these other ones, actually, they have like a purely metabolic, maybe nutrient partitioning effect that goes along with the appetite.
Maybe having some of the dopamine issues too. Yeah. So the olanzapine, the quetiapine, risperidone, aripiprazole, those are the ones the most notorious for it. But even the ziprasidone, which is, you know, they claim is less weight gain than the others, but they all can,
right?
You know, and they do tend to drive that cardiometabolic, that visceral obesity that increases our cardiometabolic risk and risk of diabetes. Yeah. Those medicines do, but they might be very important for someone's mental health and well-being. So we just have to weigh these things and work with our psychiatry colleagues. If you're a patient, work with your psychiatrist and, you know, try to minimize the effects. And we have other medications, you know, I mean, even just good old type 2 diabetes first line metformin has been shown in some pretty big trials and meta-analyses to help prevent diabetes and weight gain in those on these medicines. And in fact, I think if you look at the psychiatry guidelines, they recommend it oftentimes.
Yeah, they probably should. I've had some very thin patients in the past who developed obesity relatively rapidly over the course of like a year or two. Like, and it was just like, holy cow, what happened? And it was because they started Seroquel or whatever. I'm not taking them off the medicine. So then I've actually done the metformin thing and, you know, GLP-1, we're going to have a whole episode all about that. But these newer drugs that work at like glucagon, like peptide one, they're pretty amazing because I've had patients then lose that weight, but it's a constant struggle. You can't just take these patients off their medicines like this. It's what's keeping them going. So,
yeah. And so if you're taking these, again, please don't stop taking your medicine.
Please do not stop.
It's just something to discuss you know, try to mitigate your risk and work through it for sure. But these can be very important for people. The benefits generally outweigh the risks. We just have to be able to deal with the risks as a patient and as your healthcare team. You need to be able to to work on that.
I was going to say your favorite drugs, the sulfonylureas, if you're going to get into the type 2
diabetes. Going back up to diabetes meds.
Those are your favorite.
So, ironically, with type 2 diabetes, if you go back and listen to our carbohydrate insulin model of obesity discussion we had, how, you know, the low-carb evangelicals try to say that our body's own insulin response to eating carbs is what's driving obesity. Well, that may not really be true, but using insulin, which will, you know, if you have hyperglycemia and you don't have, your pancreas is not working that well, and so you have type 2 diabetes, and so you need insulin, that will improve the what we call the partitioning of the nutrients, the calories, the glucose, and you'll store it. And that does drive weight gain then. And if you have really, really tight control, so say for people with type 1 diabetes who we have to give them insulin to cover their basal needs, their fasting needs, and their food, if you do a really, really good job or almost a too good a job, then you'll gain weight because you have to almost eat to match the insulin. So I always tell patients, we want you to match your insulin to what you're eating. I'm kind of talking about type 1 diabetes. If you're having to eat to avoid hypoglycemia, low sugar, that's not good. You know, so that's going to cause other problems. That's going to cause weight gain for sure with insulin. But insulin as a medication can cause weight gain because you're actually storing the glucose that's in your bloodstream. Sulfonylureas are medications. They're called secretagogues, and they basically force the pancreas to make more insulin, whether you're eating and need it or not. And so then they can cause weight gain.
Yeah, basically.
And then another medicine that I think gets a bad rap for the weight gain in diabetes is the pioglitazone, the TZD, otherwise known as Actos. And I explain that one to patients as it's probably the best insulin sensitizing medication we have because it works on those healthy fat cells that we talked about in our diagnosis of obesity talk just in the last episode, if these are in the same order that we're doing these. And I tell them, well, so your healthy fat cells that aren't quite working for you anymore in type 2 diabetes, this sort of helps those improve their ability to store fat. So you might gain a little weight that way. And they tend to come with a little bit of water retention. So that accounts for some of the weight. But in general, it's relatively healthy weight. So again, this goes back to the diagnosis of obesity. It's what's on the inside that counts. So we could debate that medication specifically. But like you said, we have a lot of type 2 diabetes medications that are really good for weight loss that help with our appetite and satiety and reducing our energy intake. We have these medicines called SGLT2 inhibitors that trick your kidneys into peeing out sugar. And so you lose calories that way, all the while improving your sugars and actually having some good cardiovascular benefits. So most doctors are going to be familiar with this, but always make sure you talk about these things.
Yeah, you know, that's another reason why the insulins and maybe the secretagogues or the sulfonylureas actually increase weight gain. If you're pissing out sugar because you've gone past the threshold of what your kidneys can reabsorb all the sugar, and you increase the insulin to get the sugar now into your cells and stop your kidneys. So now instead of pissing out those calories, you're actually storing them. So that's another, actually one of the reasons that we think.
Yeah, it's all part of that whole process. Absolutely.
Yeah, you always were a pioglitazone shill. You love Actos.
Yeah, I'm still a pioglitazone shill.
But yeah, so it's a good thing to understand. If you gain weight from that medicine, if you're listening, you have type 2 diabetes and your doctor puts you on and you're like, I don't want to gain weight, but it's like, well, then it's actually, this is probably
it might be healthy
okay
weight
to gain.
Yeah.
All right. So the next section would be blood pressure. It's very slight, but the beta blockers, and they may lower your metabolic rate a little bit, but they also make you a little bit tired. You know, there's a few little things there. You may not move around as much,
which I think is a big deal.
Yeah. We do not like exercise intolerance.
Yeah. I have a lot of patients who have been on these for a long time. And, you know, now there are better blood pressure meds and they've just been on them forever. Atenolol specifically.
Yeah.
A little bit of metoprolol. And then it turns out, oh, there's not really a heart reason, a cardiac reason for them to be on. And I, you know, we say, well, let's check with your primary care doctor. If they have a cardiologist, let's check with them. And suddenly, you know, we start getting them off of it. And now they feel better too. You know, this goes back to the adrenal fatigue talk we had and how people have real fatigue, but we got to be holistic and find the actual cause instead of just making up a thing called adrenal fatigue to blame it on. Some people have medications that are causing fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
And these might cause a little fatigue. Maybe you're not as active. Metabolism's a little bit slower, and you gain a little bit of weight on them. But again, you might really, really need them for something. Say like different arrhythmias or heart failure, stuff like that. So again, do not stop these medications until you talk to your physicians.
Discuss with your doctor, please, for the love of God.
This is educational only.
I don't even think memologists don't even have malpractice. I don't know what happened, but
God. Oh my God. All right.
All right. Common birth control.
Yeah, that's the one that the females are going to want to know about this, because I'll tell you, I'll bet you when we were younger and we heard our friends, our, you know, girls talking about gaining weight on birth control, I went into med school thinking that was pretty much true. As it turns out, the studies, at least, now again, everyone's different, and I do think different people respond differently to these things, but generally speaking, the studies do not really show much of a weight change for most, like, birth control pills, specifically oral birth control pills. The one that is notorious,
oral contraceptive data, yeah,
is the medroxyprogesterone progesterone shots, the injectable contraceptive medication.
Depo-Provera.
So that's pretty common, and that does have data behind the weight gain tendencies. And I have plenty of patients who, when we do our weight history that we all do, or we should be doing, they gained a certain amount of weight in their, whatever it is, their 20s. And it's like, oh, I was on Depo-Provera during those years. It's not uncommon.
Yeah, the most common I see is like 10, 20 pounds, maybe 20 pounds at the highest, but usually around 10 pounds. Some of it's fluid, because I was like, what is the mechanism of it? Some of it's fluid, but I think there's probably a hunger with the progestin. I think the progestin is causing a hunger.
I'm
not sure exactly why, because I've looked.
Because most of the time when I see it, they're not on it anymore. They're just it's just difficult for them to lose the weight now after they were on it for, you know, whatever many years.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. This is what we talk about, you know, the whole whether obesity is a choice. There are secondary causes of weight gain, and then because of the weight gain, your body then it's like you want to remove the offending agent, and sometimes that does the trick, but other times your body, for whatever reason, now wants to fight to keep that weight. It's really frustrating. So
it's new desired weight, whether it's good or bad for you.
Yeah,
and generally it's bad for you.
Okay, so there's other progestin types of things too. Like the Nexplanon, the Implanon, Nexplanon. So these are other progestin birth controls that, like, it should. You know, and also the Mirena, the progestin IUD, it shouldn't be causing weight gain, but you know, there's a little bit of plausibility there. So anecdotally, my patients say it, but in the studies, it's like, it shouldn't be a lot, but it might be a little bit.
Yeah.
I, you know, again, don't go removing your IUD and then making us pay for.
Yeah, please don't do that. Don't.
For your new child.
Like, again.
Please don't do that.
How many times in this podcast can we say, please don't stop any medications or removal of any contraceptive devices?
Well, I was just going to say, you can get a copper IUD if you're worried about the hormonal effects. It's just, you won't get the changes in your period or whatever, your menstrual cycle, that you can get with the hormonal one. But, the copper IUD actually works really well, but some of my patients complain about the heavy menstrual flow.
I don't have a lot of complaints about that. I don't know. I don't, for whatever reason. But I'm not the OB guy putting them in, I guess.
Well, I'm not either. I don't know. It's because I did family medicine. I had to, like, pretend to be a gynecologist for a while.
Oh, my God. All right. The final one that I think is, you know, maybe the most notorious overall are really the corticosteroids, you know. And so corticosteroids are medications that are the steroidal anti-inflammatory. They're basically mimicking your body's cortisol, the stress hormone, and they're used for a whole variety of inflammatory issues that are, you know, they're really beneficial for some things, but too much is really not good for us. And you know, it increases appetite, slows metabolism a little bit, drives the storage of our adiposity where we don't want it, in our abdomen, viscerally, ectopically, increasing cardiometabolic risk. And you know, people are on, they're inhaled, which shouldn't cause too much, but you know, it's
might
possible.
Be a little bit, yeah.
They're injectable steroids. You know, there are topical steroids, but which again shouldn't be enough to cause this, but it's happened, trust me. But most of the time, it's going to be pills that people have to take for whatever reason. They're on high doses of prednisone, most commonly for different inflammatory disorders, and we're always trying to, you know, minimize the use of these that are higher than what your body's normal cortisol amounts are. But that's not always capable. People aren't always capable of doing that for whatever reason. And so oftentimes we, as endocrinologists, we end up having to deal with the consequences, the obesity, the cardiometabolic disease, the diabetes. They're also really bad for bone health, for what it's worth. But yeah, these are pretty notorious for that.
Once a, you know, maybe a couple patients a week, you know, you do their weight history. So I see like 5 new patients a day now for weight loss. And, you know, every day or two, someone will say, it all started when, no, but their weight history goes, it up. Like, I never had issue until I had to go on prednisone for XYZ, some, you know, some kidney issue, something, yeah. some autoimmune problem that they had to go on high dose and then do it.
A lot of rheumatology stuff.
Yeah. Extended period of time. And then they tried to wean off
lung issues.
And now they have this weight. Again, weight will come off when you taper off of it, but sometimes you're stuck with some weight there and your body's fighting to have it. So unfortunately, so ideally, you know, if you're good with a good rheumatologist, they have all sorts of new biologic medicines. I'm not a rheumatologist, so I will not be changing it. But, you know, I'll work with a good rheumatologist to be like, hey, what can we do here?
Yeah, we call them steroid-sparing therapies. They're going to try to, you know, help you do that. But I have probably because it's a selection bias. So as an endocrinologist, we get referred a lot of patients who have now significant what we call steroid-induced obesity, diabetes, and often osteoporosis too, fracture risks. And again, we talk about that sort of that set point or settling point or whatever we want to call it, where the body fights its new body weight and body composition. And it is not easy for some of these people who were on high dose steroids for a long time that essentially gave themselves what we call iatrogenic Cushing's. You know, they had too much, you know, corticosteroid in their body for too long. And now they have, you know, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and it was really steroid induced, and now they might not even be on steroids, but we're still struggling to really treat it.
Yeah,
because the body's
tough.
Working against them.
Yeah, the last one are the antihistamines that I have in my little book here, but it's a very, very mild effect, and it's probably the more older generation, you know, the newer stuff like Zyrtec, you know, just cetirizine and like loratadine, like Claritin, and fexofenadine, Allegra. Probably a milder effect, but you know, something to be aware of if you're just taking them all the time, all year long, when maybe you don't have seasonal allergies at certain points of the year. But anyway, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, and so you know, for anybody who's really interested in reading more about some of the data behind these medications, like I mentioned earlier, the meta-analysis of these medications was published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism in 2015. That was done to
go
with
in the show notes
the Endocrine Society guideline that year. So that's pretty good. There are some other recent ones that also, you know, have some newer nuances with it, but. But I think that's a pretty good basic one for people if you want to read about it.
If you want to show it to your doctor, whatever. So most of the people listening to this are probably patients, but there's, you know, there's probably physicians listening too. But if your patient going, oh gosh, I'm on one of these medicines again, don't stop it for the love of God. Just, you know, discuss with your doctor. There may not be an alternative. And in which case, you know, maybe you discuss using another one of these medicines that help. And we'll have a whole podcast all about these other medicines that help with weight loss and maybe multiple podcasts on that. But for the time being, we wanted to discuss these secondary causes of weight gain being medication and just go over the most common ones we see. All right, that's it. That's all I got. All right. That's all you got?
That's all I got. Hopefully we haven't bored them too much.
Yeah, well, we don't have our video on, so they probably wouldn't have been bored if they saw our video, but I'm just kidding. We're not doing it. We actually had to do these a little bit later since time schedules weren't working out. So anyway, all right, that's all we got. Till next time.
Hopefully we don't sound like we're falling asleep
either. Yeah, I know. I took a Benadryl. I'm going to gain some weight, and I'm going to fall asleep too. Anyway, Holy cow. All right. Subscribe, all right. Share with your friends, share with your doctor, give us a rating, whatever you need to do to make the Docs Who Lift climb the charts to be on top of whatever. I don't even know those lists, but anyway, whatever. Till next time.
Something.
Bye.
Bye-bye.